Welcome to the Port Forward Podcast.
Everybody, this is Ben here with the Port Forward Podcast, and I have Davey. What's up?
Hey, what's up? How much?
So, today, what did we just finish, dude?
We just finished doing the Meteor introductory course.
So, there's a hackathon on Saturday, and today is Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday, and we are basically getting booted on the framework. Now, Davey is pretty much an expert on Meteor. And I have no idea what's going on. So, actually, why don't we tell people what Meteor.js is? Meteor.js is the name of the framework.
Right.
And why don't you tell people what it is?
So, Meteor.js is a JavaScript framework that runs on Node on the server side and then runs in the JavaScript engine on your client. And what makes it awesome is that it updates everything live for you. So, you have a MongoDB on the server, and anything that changes in that server gets pushed to all the clients. And anything that changes on the clients get pushed back to the server and then out to all the other clients.
And so if you have two browser windows open and you change a variable, like you press save or press submit or change a variable in one of them,
right.
All the browsers get updated with the DOM all gets updated with that same value.
Yep.
And it's super easy, guys. This is like rivaling Rails as like incredibly easy to set up. Now, by default, everything is published back and forth, which is really good for testing. Turns out that you can get access to the entire user database from your browser window, so there's that.
Yeah.
But you
just take out that publish package, and then everything is secure, and then you choose what you want to publish and subscribe to and what clients are allowed to save or update or read even.
So there's a package that, by default, puts the data everywhere, and then Davey said you take that out, and then you have like a route, or not a routes, a publish file.
Yeah.
Not a routes file. And then that...
Publications and subscriptions.
Yeah,
that you set up.
Yeah. Okay, so today was a walkthrough of a fun little game. Well, the food... Okay, first off, there was food. So What was the food out of 5? What would you rate the food? I would say it was a 2. I mean, the tamales were good.
Yeah, they were good tamales, and they had all different types.
But honestly, for some... like as far as hackathon food goes, I would say that's a 2. Like, it's not... It wasn't catered... Well...
I'd give it a 3.
It was catered.
It wasn't bad. It was good food. It just wasn't...
All right. Davey hasn't been to the highbrow
hackathon. I haven't been to... This is my first hackathon, so I don't know what...
what it's supposed to be like.
I'm setting my bar high.
Or low.
to start with.
Cool.
I doubt we can expect anything better for Saturday.
Oh, God, I'm dropping the thing. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what Saturday's like. Yeah. So, after food, we were playing a game called Telephone Pictionary?
Yeah, Telephone Pictionary. So, it's a cross between Pictionary and Telephone. Telephone being the game where you whisper something in someone's ear, and then
and the next person whispers what they thought they heard, and then the person around a circle, and when it comes back to the original person, it sounds hilarious.
And Pictionary being where you draw a picture and then someone has to describe it. So this way, in Telephone Pictionary, someone gives you a phrase, and then you draw it, and then you pass the drawing to the next person, and then they have to turn it into a phrase, and it goes back and forth between the two.
Right, and so it's a funny barrier trying to like, or conversion. It's like an interesting conversion from like English space to visual space.
Yep.
And we had a funny one. Someone said, "What was it? I can't has cheeseburgers." Was the sentence? Mm-hmm. And then someone wrote a cat with a cheeseburger.
Yeah, I got that.
And then I drew
I can't has cheeseburgers. Like, okay, that has like cat memes, and the cat's trying to get the cheeseburger. So I drew the cat and the cheeseburger, and the next person.
I drew cat burglar because I thought that
cat
was
cat and a burger. Yeah, that makes sense.
Cat burglar, and then someone else wrote cat, and then someone drew a cat burglar, and then someone else wrote cat burglar again. Yeah. So they like made it.
Once it got to cat burglar,
it was
clear.
It was good. But the initial transformation didn't make it.
Yeah.
And so the class or the demo today was basically us working on a Git repo that was 98% finished for this game, of a digital version of this game.
Yeah.
And there were different phases, and I thought it was actually really well set up, where you basically grep through the code for the phrase phase one or phase two, and then you'll see all the places in the code where you're supposed to hack on it and make it work.
Yeah. They need a little bit of help with the copy of describing what you're supposed to do there, but it was a good idea to do it that way.
Yeah, I like that. And so, I would also say that the project was scoped a little bit big, like the for the time frame, A, but B, once I got to the database, I thought that it was a bit confusing.
Yeah.
What I found really helpful for teaching people languages is you give them, like, example blocks. Like, you give them, like, five variables that are examples of, this is how you fetch one, this is how you fetch 10, this is how you fetch the first of.
The same thing.
Or you ask them to build, now you say, this is what you can do, now can you build on that?
Right.
Like, if you know how to use basic if statements or whatever, you should know how to build on that, and
and I think they were trying to do that, but because we were short on time for how much they wanted to do, she was walking us through it really quick, and we didn't get to look at the code to see what the examples were.
And all female Meteor hackathon runners, which I've never seen that before. It's always been all male, and then one booth babe walking around or whatever. It's pretty much all.
Yeah, I think their whole PR team and like is all female,
which that would make sense.
But the ones I've seen on the Facebook and the
and that would make sense.
Seen here.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
And we kind of, after the teacher tried to take on one of the, what happened was the class was running out of time, and the teacher tried to take on one of the big steps and just kind of walk us through it, and she was stressed out for time, and then the whole thing fell apart, and people started leaving.
Well, because the time was up.
Well, no, I mean, we're almost at the time, but right around when she hit that, what time is it right now? It's okay. So 1 minute left. We're in the car, but there would have been 1 minute left had we still been inside. And, but I think people were leaving right around, I don't know, when it got complicated, people were like, I'm over it.
Yeah. But it was a good attempt. And I'm sure the next time this was the first time they were giving this class. So they,
we were the beta. We were the beta class. So definitely need to bite off a smaller chunk. So, hackathon. So the prizes we found out are Parrot AR drones, no iPads, which pisses me off.
You really want an iPad?
Yeah,
huh?
That's like almost a grand.
It's true.
Is that like $700?
Well, they probably give a mini, and that's like $400, $600. I don't know.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the prizes are Parrot AR drone,
and then
dinner with the
founders.
One of the founders.
One or both of the founders.
Yeah.
And that was it.
No, she said something else. A Pebble Watch?
A Pebble Watch, which Vlad has a Pebble Watch.
And maybe something else. I don't know.
I think that was it. I think
that's
those
three.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
So we are going to make a clone of the game Tank, the original Tank game, where it's 2D and you shoot, you have tanks that go along the terrain and shoot. Worms was a better version of Tank.
Yeah, but we don't have time for making
We don't have
worms.
Time to make Worms, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be doable, to make a Worms clone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to tie in Bitcoin, and this is a big secret until we start hacking on it on Saturday and people figure it out. Except for one guy might have ever heard it. We were at a coffee shop before
Yeah, because we
doors
came early
opened.
And the doors weren't open, so we went to a nearby coffee shop, and one of the other attendees was there.
May or may not have been listening to us, but that's okay.
Eavesdropping, stealing all our
It was his first hackathon, so I don't think he's in the mindset. I'm, like, ready to go.
Probably doesn't even know what Bitcoin is, and he's like,
what are they talking about? Yeah, exactly. So what we came up with the idea is, I think, did we say that, okay, so whatever, you have armor, which is the number of Satoshis that you deposit into the game.
Right, so the idea is that you buy into the game with the Bitcoin.
And then that charges your armor.
And so your life is Satoshi, basically. Your life is Bitcoin.
Your life points, as opposed to, like, yeah.
And every time you hit someone with one of your fires...
You might take 1,000 Satoshi or something.
You take away their Satoshi and you put it into your bank account.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like gambling, but it's a skill-based game, but you're getting money for your hits.
And then... We don't know how much we're going to be able to implement, but there could be an idea of some weapons take some of the Satoshi into your account and some take all the Satoshi, or it could be a thing where, like, instead of just giving all the life points at once, it'll give you plus 10 life points for 10 seconds or something. So it's kind of a charging effect.
There's all kinds of possibilities for different
metrics or mechanics.
Yeah,
exactly. And so I think we should start with like a basic,
just the basic takes.
Like one or two weapons. And Satoshi.
Yeah.
And just get that established. And we should bring paper and pen and get like a list of like the things we want to do and kind of like sort them or whatever. And then, it'd be fucking sick and we're going to win. I know it. There's no way we're going to lose.
And if we made this into an actual game.
Right.
Like, I bet people in the Bitcoin community would want to play.
I bet people would play too. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you only have to deposit like 0.005
or... We're not talking big sums here, just...
0.005 or something to get in.
What you would normally just throw away on Satoshi dice, why not play a game?
Right, exactly. Now, I've never actually played Satoshi dice. I actually kind of want to, but... You know, they were really pissed at Bitcoin conference. They were pissed at that Satoshi dice for adding dust to the blockchain.
Yeah, because they just basically thought of as spamming the blockchain.
Like, yeah, so dust is when you have small transactions, because each transaction takes a fixed amount of... each transaction may or not has a minimum size.
Right.
And if I gave you a bunch of money from like 10 different blocks, because all the Bitcoins come from a block originally, right? Mm-hmm. So I gave you lots of tiny amounts from different blocks. Well, when you want to spend those, you have to sign each individual... input that went into your account from the original, it comes somehow from the original block. Uh-huh. I don't know exactly how that works, but those are called unspent inputs. Okay. And so when you spend that, even though you might, if I'm sending someone a Bitcoin and you're sending someone a Bitcoin, yours might have 1,000 components and mine might have one component. Huh. So the sizes are way different.
Interesting.
So dust actually costs you money. If a lot of your income is from dust, it actually ends up costing you money.
Because you have to sign it on all these. What costs you money?
The cost is the size of the transaction. So you have to pay a fee if your transaction's over a certain size.
So that's what... I've been wondering when I spend under a certain amount through the wallet. Sometimes it says you are over a certain size, you need to pay fees, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yes.
So that's what's determining...
Exactly.
The size...
Where they came from.
Okay. I thought it was based on how many Bitcoin you're spending. I'm like, well, why did...
Well, it is based on how many Bitcoin you're spending. But if
it's tied back into where
the size is also a thing, So,
interesting.
So there was like feedback and stuff from the last podcast, but we're not like in full podcast mode. We should get like a real podcast with Sam and Merrick, and get through all our feedback and all that stuff. So is there something tomorrow or not?
There's a dev shop tomorrow at 2.
Okay.
For Meteor, I might come to.
We should go. No, I'm down, dude. I'm
work. Because that's more serious, like...
Work, what's work?
Core, and it's actually, like, lightning talks on what people are building and stuff, so it's more interesting.
Oh, so should we lightning talk about what we're building?
No, you'd have to sign up ahead of time.
Oh, I didn't get in?
No. I mean, did you?
No.
Well, there's a meetup something. I'm sure you can still sign up for it. No, but what I mean, someone's already... There are people who have assigned themselves as doing these lightning talks, and we're just going to listen. Like people,
but it's a dev shop, so is it just going to be speaking, or?
I don't know.
Okay, we can figure it out. So if we get
dinner, I think it's like lunch, and then...
If we get up early enough tomorrow, then we can both go, and it'll be awesome. And
early enough. By 2 p.m. we have to be out here.
Dude.
We're going to wake up early.
That's like the crack of noon, okay?
I know. It's hard.
It's hard.
It's hard waking up that early.
And then on Saturday is the actual hackathon. And so we will be recording and running as usual, which I'm sure you guys all hate, but that, you know, that's what you get.
We want real Port Forward podcast.
Dude, what do you want me to say?
Not this bullshit hackathon running.
I like to inspire something that actually came from you, which is you said that you downloaded the entire catalog of the podcast while you were in Africa and it inspired you to build something. I like to think that me going to hackathons and kicking ass would inspire all of you out there in podcast land to go to your own hackathons or start a hackathon or organize shit. I mean, meetups there, join me there. There's all these tools to organize people. Yep. You just have to get the prizes. That's a pain in the ass. But, you know, motorcycles are driving by the car. I really hope these record and runs, at least if we're at fun activities, inspire you people to do awesome shit like Davey and I. And Davey's going to move up to the Bay Area.
I'm here now.
Davey has moved up to the Bay Area. He's currently homeless, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How I roll.
Yeah, that's how he rolls. So we will get back to you soon, and thanks for listening. All right, dude, I am here with Davey, and we are proud owners of a Parrot AR drone because we won the first ever Meteor Hackathon. Tell me about your experiences.
24 hours to build a Meteor app. It was surprisingly enough time to build a pretty sweet Meteor app
because
the framework is that fast.
So the framework is awesome.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know, we built a 2D tank shooter with deformable terrain. And Bitcoin armor. So you pay in, you buy your armor, and then you shoot and you steal armor from your buddy.
Right. So your life is your Bitcoin.
Each point is literally one Satoshi. And oh my God, so many issues with server side synchronization. We had to do all the hit detection on the server because
can't trust the clients to do that.
Yeah. I mean, for the hackathon, it probably would have been whatever, but.
Yeah.
Dude, we can do set timeout on the server. It's meteor.settimeout.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Meteor calls that you have to do, like Meteor HTTP calls, Meteor set timeout.
But you can do Meteor set timeout for a timed event. I was talking to, what's the founder's name?
Matt DeBurgalis.
So I was talking to Matt, and he was like, yeah, you can do a Meteor set timeout. And I was like, what? I didn't know you could do that. And he was like, yeah, just go for it. So we didn't mess with it, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you have to wrap those in futures or not, but yeah, you can do this.
No, you don't have to wrap it in a future because you don't need the return value. If you want the return value of an asynchronous thing, you need to wrap it in the future.
Right.
But if you just want to have something happen in the future.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. That's why I'm glad.
Great part of hackathons. Now I know Meteor framework deeper than I thought I could learn it in 24 hours.
And to talk to everybody. Yeah. We are recording on the iPhone 5. If you didn't hear that notification, I don't know how that's possible because we just got one on my phone, I think, through the speaker. I'm sure that's fucking annoying. So that's happening. It's super exciting. Yeah.
There were five categories?
Five categories. Most world change. It wasn't world changing, but it was biggest impact.
Best use of external APIs. Most entertaining, which is what we want.
Right. Best technology. Or most impressive technology.
Yeah, most impressive. And
something else.
Something, yeah.
Okay. Oh my God. So the voting is interesting because they use voting. Usually they have judges, but this they actually use crowdsourced voting.
They had judges that were like there to ask questions.
But
guests.
But they didn't.
But they didn't use them to
vote.
Yeah. To determine who won.
Okay. So they made a little app so everyone could vote. And we were the next runner up was called Pokedix, and D-I-C-K-S like a schlong. Okay. And what it was is a little Pokemon. Not emulation, but what's the word? Like representation?
There's a 2D world where you walk around.
Just like Pokemon.
Just like Pokemon. And you run into other players, and if you run into another player, it'll open up a Skype call with them.
Which is basically like chat roulette, but with 2D
and
coordinates.
That's the other thing. I think their original idea was first it opens Skype with real people, and then there's monsters, and when you encounter monster, then it opens chat roulette. That's why that's the dicks part.
That's the dicks part.
Yeah. But I don't think they wanted to open that while they were doing the demo.
I don't think they wanted to open chat roulette while they were doing the demo. Yeah.
But so there was two rounds of voting because the app had a problem.
So the first round of voting, we were like 20-8 or something.
22-11, we doubled. And we had the highest margin.
We
were
the highest margin, so we were kicking ass. And then they're like, everybody, there was a bug in the app, and now we have to redo all your votes. And then at that point, it was neck and neck. It was like 5-5, 5-6, and they were winning for a while. And so I was like freaking polling for a presidential candidate. I was like, vote for BitTank. Vote for BitTank.
You're going table to table.
Table to table. I literally went table to table. Shameless plug. Vote for BitTank.
Yep.
And we won by one vote in the end.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And actually, the guys were really cool at Pokedex. They were like, that's such a cool idea. They really liked the Bitcoin and like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are fucking tired. I got like 3 hours, 2 hours of sleep. Davey passed out on the table like...
For like an hour.
Like yeah. a homeless motherfucker.
Yep.
He was pushing to Heroku, which took forever for like on our app, and he was like, oh, I'll just take a nap, and then that was it. He was out. I happened to be sleeping, so I didn't get to witness the
yep.
the build nap. But
it was good.
Yeah. So I think I'm done talking because we need to get the fuck out of here. Out of the San Francisco city and go home and pass out. But maybe we'll record a bit more and talk more in depth about the setup of the hackathon. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Meteor.js kicks ass, guys. Check it out. If you have not, makes it super easy to build DOM and stuff. Maybe we'll do a little video of what we built, or I don't even know. I have a couple videos of some basic tank stuff, so.
Cool.
Cool. All right, see you guys in a bit. All right, guys. I am here with Davey still, and we're doing sort of a post-mortem mm-hmm. on the hackathon. We've been flying the AR drone a bunch and had some shenanigans. What's your feeling on the AR drone compared to some of the other drones you've flown?
I like it. I mean, it's not as...
Like, responsive?
Yeah, as responsive as, like, your X1.
Right.
But it's better than when I have a small Hubson, like, tiny one. It's about the size of a ladybird.
Uh-huh.
Which is, what, like, 5 inches by five
inches? The size
inches.
Of a Pop-Tart, more or less.
Yeah. It's a tiny little yeah. quadcopter.
Yeah.
And it's really jumpy.
Yeah, like, it's, it like, really jumpy. Yeah, yeah.
So this is the first large drone that I've flown, and it's nice and stable.
Stable. It's really stable. I like that. But you have to fly it on your iPhone, so the interface is a little bit...
Right. The controls are the problem, because you have to smudge your fingers around on your iPhone screen to get the controls.
And this one... So this one has an outdoor hole and an indoor hole. So that... Actually, we haven't even flown with the outdoor hole once.
No, yeah.
We just took
off. Box.
We just took it off. But the indoor hole has basically rubber... Or styrofoam circles around all the four...
Propeller blades,
right? And so the idea is that you could bounce off of a wall at low speed and you'd be fine.
Right.
Now, if you bounce off a wall or the ground at high speed, the styrofoam deforms and just hits the propeller.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
But at least it knows.
It still saves the propeller because the propeller is hitting styrofoam instead of whatever you're running into.
True. And also it knows when the propeller's not spinning it. It knows when there's been a hit on the propeller because
mm-hmm.
the whole drone just locks.
Yeah, it turns off.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's... So that's good.
Yeah, we tried
here,
having
here.
Controller issues.
Yeah. Okay, so first off, lean up and speak into the mic. I know, because we're going to get the whole room, and it's going to be annoying. And
getting lots of the
Yeah, the
echo.
Ambience. Yeah, well, whatever. It's a stupid podcast, so.
Right.
So we tried with, I have a Logitech controller,
yep.
and we plugged it into the Mac, and I paid $10 for Mac software that just crashes instantly.
Yep.
It says connecting to drone. It says configuring drone and crashes. And we laughed that it's bricking drone.
Yeah. Should have read the reviews before you bought that. And you need to leave a horrible review for that.
Yes, I will.
$10 down the drain. But then, of course, there's a nice open source
one
for PC and Linux.
Which looks like it's written in Java, which is cool.
Yep, and that worked.
That well. Worked. We have to restart the drone every time to connect it.
Yep.
It says that it doesn't know what the battery, the sensor, the height sensor, it doesn't know what any of the sensors are doing.
Right.
Which is interesting. I don't know what the deal. Maybe I need to downgrade the software.
Yeah, maybe because we upgraded the drone
to the latest
firmware to the latest. It doesn't know what to do.
Why would they change the sensor?
Yeah,
protocol. API.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so we tried it with his Logitech.
Yeah,
and it's awesome playing with the controller.
Yeah, it's really
but
fun.
It introduces how many more points of failure?
Two or three.
So the controller is remote, wireless, and it has a battery. So
USB and a laptop. Yeah. The laptop's a point of failure.
Right.
And the software.
Three batteries. You got the drone battery, you got the
laptop.
Wireless controller battery, and the laptop battery. You got two wireless connections, one from the controller to the computer, and then from the computer to the drone. Which...
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was really fun to fly.
Yeah.
And I was actually really liking it, because it made it more like the X1, where like you can bank really hard, and it was just really awesome to fly.
Right.
but the software crashed or it did, lost connection.
Lost connection to the drone.
And the drone just started climbing.
Luckily, no. First it was hovering right above my car in like arm's distance away.
Yeah. And we were like grabbing for
it. And the thing with the drone is it has two ultrasound sensors on the bottom and a camera. So it's locked on
the terrain.
The terrain and height. So if you move your hand or you walk under the drone, it'll jump up because it senses
it. It goes up and forward because it thinks that the terrain is moving.
Right.
Which it thinks that it's moving over the terrain and tries to compensate by staying still. When in reality, it's actually moving forwards.
Right. So when it locked out and we had no control over it, of course, you have to go and it was right at my height to grab it. And I didn't want to, like, run under it.
If you put his hand in the center of it, it would have boosted up and forwards. Yeah. So he put his hands on the sides.
So I tried to grab the edges of this indoor hole. And then I had it for, like, 3 seconds. And then I started pulling it down and my fingers went over the edge. And, of course, the propellers bit my fingers.
He's like, oh, shit.
And when I let go, it started climbing slowly.
It slowly started climbing, and I was freaking out. And so I was like, Davey, go get your iPhone.
So I had to run inside, grab my iPhone, try to connect to the Wi-Fi hotspot that the AR drone puts out.
And it wasn't working because a laptop was connected to it.
Yeah.
So disconnect the laptop, and finally we could land the thing.
Yeah. That was funny, though.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the drone was definitely it's definitely a cool prize.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It'd be fun to have some kind of hack with it. I don't know. It's all open source.
Yeah,
so I don't know what
source, so
would be fun to hack on.
You could write an actually good Mac software version and make some money.
Maybe.
Or, it'd be cool to do some AI stuff. Because it has an ARM Cortex-8.
Or 7 or 8, yeah. And it has 2
gigahertz and it has like 128 megabytes of RAM. So it's got some
And some flash
power.
Space on there. Yeah, so it's a pretty good little computer. Mm-hmm. You could Bitcoin mine on it.
While it's flying.
Litecoin. Well, Litecoin needs memory.
More memory, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if you could fly it. It'd have
flying
to land.
Bitcoin
it'd have to park
miner.
And then switch to mining mode.
And it has a Wi-Fi. I wonder if you could connect to internet with it.
Well,
connect it remotely.
It runs Linux, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can do whatever you want.
You could do anything.
So hackathon takeaways. One thing I asked Davey in the car on the way back, he said, always go with Ben to the hackathon. I was like, that's number one.
Go with Benathon. He knows how to win a hackathon.
Yeah.
Let's see. Something I actually learned the hackathon and have started using is Git stash save,
Git stash
pop.
Yeah.
All that
so,
good stuff. So if you're working in a repo and you're not ready to commit your code, but you want to go back to a different version or switch to a different branch, you can stash your changes. I didn't know that before the hackathon.
All right.
Good to know.
Yeah, stashing is very important. I did that about 4 times a day. I'm having a heck of a time working on our website, so that's been awesome. It was interesting because I mostly learned a lot about Easel.js. And Easel.js, if you guys don't know, is a really awesome graphics library for HTML5 Canvas, or just normal Canvas. But basically, it lets you define objects and lets you render them and move them, and it's kind of like what you would expect, where you could have an object on the screen and it can have its own local objects, which are centered, like 0, 0 is the center of the parent, and then when you move the parent, they all move around together. Hmm. So the coordinate system is it's like a local coordinate system or a global coordinate system.
That's cool.
Depending where you attach it.
So you could have a planet with
an orbiting,
and those would be orbiting a sun, and they would
have to know where the planet was. They wouldn't have to know where the planet was relative to the sun.
You just know where the planet is.
Relative to 0, 0, yeah, basically.
That's sweet.
Will be the center of the planet. Hmm. So I learned about that, and that was cool. I learned a little bit about Meteor. I think it's a really cool language. I think that we should continue developing BitTank. I've been thinking lots about the different things we could do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned a little bit about the security of Meteor, but I mean...
Well, none of the coins are on the server, so...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they don't have our API key to make withdrawals.
That's true.
So that's all you need.
But with the API that we're using the blockchain.info API.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't use the one that lets you send coin, then they can only receive coin, create addresses, which is what we're doing right now.
But how do they get their coin in their wallet after they get all their winnings?
Yeah, that's...
We have a manual.
Right now we can only accept coin. We can't send it out.
I was thinking we could verify each transaction, but I don't know what that gets us.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like when you create the account, you get one export address, and then we verify that, like, we do email processing.
Mm-hmm. But, I don't know.
If you have
the API key, then they're just going to be able to send coin from there.
I thought you said that you could lock it down. Can't you lock down the ACLs
assuming you want automated
Why don't we do it by hand first?
Yeah, we could do that. So, like, if you want to cash out, send us an email.
No, no, you press the button, mm-hmm. and it sends us an email, and it says cash out pending.
Okay, yeah. Well, the same and thing.
Then, yeah, it's the same thing.
We have to do the...
Yeah, we have to do the same thing, but they don't have to say send us an email that's, like,
super sketch. Right, no, they have to sketch. Write up an email, like, hey, I want my coin now. Yes. Yeah, but we should work on that some more.
I think we should have another hackathon on that. Yep. Maybe this weekend. Mm-hmm. Next weekend is iOS Dev Camp. And iOS Dev Camp has usually been, or traditionally it's been at the eBay/PayPal headquarters. And now they've moved it, I believe they've moved it to Hacker Dojo, which is another, it's like Nextspace. It's like another community workspace. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I don't know if I got the details correct on that, but we'll see how that goes. And we'll obviously be recording a separate podcast for that. Yeah, man. Oh, we talked about the food. I'm trying to think if we missed anything.
Did we talk about the food? We talked about the food during the...
First time I recorded?
The Meteor introduction, but we didn't talk about the hackathon.
I remember you complaining about pod stickers on the podcast. I'm pretty sure you did a pod sticker rant. I could be wrong.
I did many pod sticker rants, but I don't think I did it on
the podcast. Okay, let's hear the pod sticker rant. So it was dinner time. What was the first?
Port Forward Cost podcast traditionally does food reviews on 1 to 5
right.
scale for hackathons or wherever they go.
Yeah.
I didn't think the food was bad, except the dinner was just pot stickers.
And you were like, what if you don't like pot stickers?
Right.
Like, what if you...
Like, there was no variety... Well, there was a variety of pot stickers. There's, like, chicken and pork and vegetarian. But that's beyond all. That? Just pot stickers.
All right.
Which is fine, but as far as...
And you were kind of pissed, and the sauces were very lacking. There was, like, a little bit of, like, soy sauce, and then there was some other sauce that was just, like, gone.
Yeah.
Been consumed instantly.
Right.
Yeah.
But the other meals were good. Like, we had some Thai curry.
The Thai curry was delicious.
Yeah.
There was two kinds of curries, right?
When we first arrived at the hackathon, we had lunch there, and it was an Indian curry. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Thai curry was on the morning of the announcements?
Yeah. Lunch right before they announced the winners and stuff. So, yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
So, just one failure on the food, which was the pot sticker dinner.
Yeah, yeah. And someone set up a Tumblr, which had all these really cool quotes... and memes, and I think I was on there 3 times. One of my quotes was Y equals MX plus B, bitch. That was like a 2 a.m. No, I must have been.
Yeah, I wonder.
That was like 11 p.m. quote, because I was getting pretty early on the slope.
Yeah, you were getting in there.
Yeah.
Early.
Yeah. And they basically, I don't know, someone was just like listening or writing them down or whatever.
Yep.
And then just like put them up all on this Tumblr.
Would find a picture that was relevant and
put the quote. Yeah, put like a meme that was relevant and then like just put the quote, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I really like that. The music was actually really good. I was really impressed. The one little Asian girl that worked there she just plugged in her Android and she had some pretty good dubstep. I was like, oh, I know this song. And like most of the time it's like, yeah. I'm like if I've been digging.
So should we rate the hackathon music 1 to 5?
I would definitely say it's a 4. I mean, the fact that they didn't have a turntable FM room set up. Mm-hmm. If they had set up a turntable FM room, I would have given them a 5.
So people could at the hackathon could come in.
So the way you're listening to it tonight to turntable FM tonight. Right. So tell people how it works.
So turntable FM is like a crowdsourced DJ room. You get there's 4 decks in the room, and each when you join the room, you can. Become a
optional,
DJ.
Optionally become DJ. One
you
of the four.
Everyone's listening, but if you want to play a song, you click on the deck and then you become a DJ and you have a list of songs and you put it in the queue. So you get to choose what plays next.
And then what do the crowd get to do?
And the crowd gets to upvote or downvote.
If there's a number, hardcore?
Like 9 downvotes, or I guess the room admin sends it. But yeah, if there's too many downvotes, then it skips your song.
Wamp, wamp.
But that's cool. That's a good idea for hackathon.
iOS Dev Camp, I'm telling you, is the best hackathon I've been to. It's really well organized. They know what they're doing. Everything is really well done. The fact that they're moving, I think Hacker Dojo is a smaller venue.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hmm. I have no idea.
How many people attended last year?
1,000? I don't know. Something retarded.
So it's got to be a pretty big place if they're going to...
It's got to be. Maybe it was only like 600 or 500. I mean,
that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Hacker Dojo must be huge.
Yeah. I don't know. I could have sworn it's a Hacker Dojo. I could have gotten that detail wrong. We'll have to look it up. We both bought tickets, so we'll be there.
Yep.
So the music was like a 4, I would say. There was something else I was going to say about the music, but it was cool that she played the music and that, oh yeah, it was cool that like that I heard songs that I have paid to download. And if I've been on Beatport for like 6 hours digging through dubstep, mm-hmm. and I say, this is a song that I want out of thousands of songs, and that was a song that she had, that makes me happy. That means that she has good taste. So
why doesn't it make it to a five?
Because there was no, it wasn't crowdsourced. I mean,
oh, okay.
She just played what she wanted and then,
right.
Yeah. Were you nervous to present, to go up in front and talk to people or?
No, because I knew you'd just take over and be spieling and I could just, stand up there and play Bitcoin.
Yeah, so we did a live Bitcoin deposit and that worked.
Yep.
And I think it was Josh. So we met a kid named Josh who was pretty cool. But he was like, oh, I think it already went through. And I was like, did you see it change? And he said, no. And I said, I don't think it went through then.
Yeah.
And then everybody saw it change. Everybody was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yep. So if you need to accept Bitcoin, the blockchain.info API is really cool.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Also, Coinbase has one. But I'll let Davey handle it because I was focusing on the Easel stuff. And you've decided to go with blockchain.
Well, the blockchain.info one lets you create wallets on the fly.
Through the API.
Through the API.
Which was what we want.
And give them a callback to call when a transaction goes to that wallet, which is perfect.
Right. So it's a webhook, technically, is the API term. So we post a URL. We give it to them. When that wallet gets a transaction into it, that URL gets a post or a get?
A get.
It gets a GET request, so that's the webhook part. Mm-hmm. And now we said, okay, and then you update it into the MongoDB, and then it propagates down to the DOM using the JavaScript, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you can tell in the webhook what data to send with the request when it gets it sends the hash, it sends the wallet ID, and I had it send also the user ID, which is a Mongo ID key.
And did you set that in the wallet?
Yeah.
So when you made the wallet, you set it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's smart.
So when it calls back, you just grab that data out of the Git command, the Git request, and then you know exactly which user's receiving Bitcoin.
That's awesome. And tell me a little bit, was it DDP? Tell me about DDP.
DDP.
That's not what it's called. What's the Meteor update language that's three letters? It's the protocol that's used for DOM updating. Remember they said port... One of the things in the hackathon was port this to Ruby on Rails. It's the language that Meteor uses for
DDP. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay,
but I didn't write any DDP.
So no. But tell me what it is. I don't know, for the listeners.
So DDP is used to interact with the database. I think.
No, it's with the DOM.
Okay, well, I have no idea.
Okay, we have no idea what it is. Okay, so my understanding is DDP is a protocol that's used to send data between the DOM, you know, the browser window and JavaScript, Node.js on the back end. And it's what they use to basically publish and consume.
Right, server, like the database.
Well, right, but, okay, so I guess database to me always lives on the server, and since the database here is both on the browser and...
Well, the browser version is always going to be I guess you could write your own, but it's going to be a mini Mongo database, but the DDP is used to contact the back end.
And so it's really cool because it's basically this live, real-time protocol that changes can push back and forth on.
Yeah.
And that's what your data all rides on. And we didn't have to mess with it because, Davey, we both don't know what it really is purely, but it just works, right?
Right.
And it's really fast.
Yeah, if you're using Mongo as your back end, it works. And it's awesome. But you can always change if you have an existing Ruby on Rails server and you want to use Meteor on the front end, then you can write your own custom. Actually, people have already written
a Ruby. So one of the guys has been working on a iOS DDP,
right?
Cocoa DDP client, and that was really cool because he could send changes back and forth from an iOS app.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be, using his library, I wonder if that would be a good
Meteor app. FCamp?
Yeah, for iOS FCamp.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Do something.
Yeah. We could write a BitTank client.
iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, so for BitTank, the basic elements of the game is you have a terrain, which is for every X value, you have one Y value. So it's in a big array of integers.
It's an array of vectors, yeah, integers for the
points. And The tanks are objects, and they can shoot bullets, and the bullets have an X and a Y heading, and then they have a power. And there's also a gravity that's subtracted. And I kind of stole a lot of the math from the asteroids example. So EASL.js has an asteroids, you know, like a traditional asteroids with the wireframe ship and the meteors and stuff, or the asteroids you're shooting.
Right.
And so I took a lot of that code and modified it into the BitTank game. Mm-hmm. And basically you write a new entry into the database that says, I just shot a bullet at this heading with this power. And then it syncs to all the other browsers that are in the game, and they all instantiate that on the DOM. Mm-hmm. And then there was a ticker. So every 50 milliseconds, all the objects get a tick. And when the asteroid is or the bullet's added to the game, all the browsers get it almost instantly, and they all start ticking. And so it all has the same trajectory, and then it all hits the ground.
Right. And of course, you check on server side whether it hits a tank or not, so that people can't cheat.
Right. Now, there's a lot more that could be done with that. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we really should be doing is we should make sure that the bullet comes out of the tank.
Right.
The angle. The thing is about the angles. We could sync the angle up, but we don't have to sync the angle up a lot. Like, we could delay, if we could delay the angle of the tank, mm-hmm. because all that really matters for you on your screen is just what the turret looks like.
Right.
But if it glitches and the bullet comes out somewhere else, like, you don't care.
Right.
So we could save bandwidth on that, I think.
Yeah. Tiny bit.
A tiny bit. I mean, you want to sync the tank's X position as fast as possible.
Right.
But you don't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of optimizations we could do.
I think I figured out, okay, so the way that the Asteroids game was built was actually really detrimental
to a tank game?
Well, no, to a multiplayer game of any sort.
Oh, yeah.
So the way that it works is every 50 milliseconds it calls tick on the stage, and then the stage loops through all of the sub-objects and calls tick on them as well. Mm-hmm. But that assumes that everybody has a 50 millisecond timer. It's exactly on. And even on just one browser, it's like 50.1 sometimes. Like, it, mm-hmm. it's always off by a little bit.
Right.
So what you really want to do is you really want to say every time you tick, basically every time you tick, you want to say this is how long it's been since the beginning. Where should it be? As opposed to it's 50 milliseconds, add 50 milliseconds worth of travel right. onto it. So I did that conversion
for absolute rather than relative.
Absolute versus relative. So I did that for the bullets, but we should do that for everything. Mm-hmm. And we could also do that for the, yeah. I mean, we could do that for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once we do that, then the, it was tricky because the bullets animate, the explosion animates on the browser, mm-hmm. but the terrain gets pushed from the server.
Right, so you see the explosion, you actually see the terrain deform first, and then the bullet hit it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Also, when you fire the shot, mm-hmm. it hits the ground instantly. Like, on the server, it calculates the full trajectory of the bullet instantly.
As fast as it can, yeah.
Well, before returning. Yeah, as fast right. as it can. Yep. It doesn't do 50 millisecond ticks. It just goes, we call it fast forwarding the bullet. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the hit detection happens. So it might look like you have time to escape the path of the bullet, but actually you don't. And also that means one thing you might think you might be able to do is you might be able to drive past your enemy and then shoot straight up in the air mm-hmm. as you drive past them, and then it's going to land on their head.
Right.
But it's really going to land on your head. So there is definitely some synchronization issues there.
Yeah.
But I think we should go to a coffee shop, or maybe we could go here or somewhere once a weekend or mm-hmm. I don't know. And just fuck with it.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
It was fun working on it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. And then Josh invited me to a LinkedIn hackathon. Hmm. But I turned him down because we're already going to iOS Dev Camp. I was like, hey, you want to come to this instead? Yeah, same time.
What do you do at a LinkedIn hackathon?
I don't know. Rate people on their skills? Dude, oh my God. So they introduced that stupid, you put your skills on LinkedIn. And then the people can endorse you.
Oh, yeah, and then other people say whether they think you're good at this or endorse you for that skill.
Right, okay. So I thought that was the stupidest thing in the world. So I put a stupid, silly one, mm-hmm. which was soul retrieval. Have you heard the story?
No.
No, okay. And so Soul Retrieval. And so first off, Brandy, who used to sit there actually in your seat, mm-hmm. she upvoted me for Soul Retrieval because she thought it was hilarious, right?
Yeah.
And then my dad is like, my dad somehow was on LinkedIn and we're connected.
Yeah.
And he's like, Ben, what's this about this Soul Retrieval on that website? And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about on that link? Like, he didn't even have the LinkedIn. Like, he couldn't say it on the thing. It's that website. Are you into that? And I was like, what? And then my dad's the kind of person that would think that Soul Retrieval is real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So thanks, Dad. I guess, I mean, you could crawl the LinkedIn network. Basically, it's like
you could do some cool stuff with the social graph.
Basically, the person that's going to win the hackathon is going to basically say the pitch is going to be, "We're making a way for recruiters to find employees better," because that's all LinkedIn. That's their business model. Right. Is you pay recruiters pay to, you know?
Yeah.
Have you met any of those people that do that? People that are like on LinkedIn, they think it's like the social network. They think it's like Facebook. And most people kind of think LinkedIn's irrelevant.
Right.
But those people that are on it searching all the time, like it's their jam. And they think it's like the
recruiters who are looking for.
Well, there's recruiters that'll
people
like.
People looking for jobs?
Recruiters that are looking for people and trying to match them up and stuff. There's a lot of those services.
And they think it's the.
They think it's the shit.
Okay.
And if you're not on LinkedIn, like they don't understand. They don't understand that it's an irrelevant
not
social network. It's not even a social network.
Yeah.
It's like
it's an online resume.
It's like a resume collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what you do at that hackathon, but. Yeah. So hopefully we have more audio for you for the Iowa's Dev Camp, which is next weekend. Now, today is Friday.
Yep.
Which is the 5th of July, after the 4th.
Yep.
Lots of fireworks going off yesterday and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we will get back to you soon, and thanks for listening.
Later.